Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and you're listening to this week's Seed of Faith. We're in the second week of Advent. Hopefully you're being blessed with a wonderful Advent and preparation for Christmas. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time at the Seed Christian Fellowship, 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you can't join us in person, you can always join us on our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, click on the live stream, or you can always go to our YouTube channel and watch our YouTube services. We have several passages of Scripture, so I'm going to open with a prayer and jump right into the passages. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we give thanks for this season of Advent. As we light the Advent candles of hope and love and joy and peace, Lord, we pray that your hope, your love, your joy, and your peace would reign and radiate and fill our lives and fill our homes with the joy of Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah 7, 14. And then Isaiah chapter 9, 1 through 7. Listen to these words. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, you have broken as in the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. Verse 6, for a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be an endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. What a wonderful, wonderful word. Now for our New Testament reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Well, today, this week, you would be lighting the second candle of Advent. It's called the candle of love. Last week, if you're doing an Advent candle, you would light the candle of hope. Advent means arrival or coming. In Advent, we are preparing for the arrival of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Last week, if you were listening to the program, we looked at Scrooge's encounter with Marley's ghost of Christmas past. We saw the chains that are forged in Christmas past, how heavy, how hurtful they are, and we found out that it is Christ who breaks these chains and allows us to change. This week, we find ourselves singing, "All You Need Is Love." What is love? What do we love? Whom do you love? How do you love? When do you love? Why do you love? Where does love come from anyway? Well, you know, one year George Mason missed Christmas altogether. This workaholic bank president accidentally locked himself in the vault on Christmas Eve. Everyone had already left. No one unlocked the vault until the day after Christmas. George returned to the bank after going home to shower and shave. The employees welcomed him back from Christmas break, oblivious to what had taken place. For 39 hours, George Mason had experienced the plight of a prisoner in solitary confinement. Well, because he was a loner, no one wondered about his disappearance. Incredibly, Christmas had passed by George Mason while Mason was trapped in the safe with all the bank's valuables. He had plenty of time to think about his own worth. Mason was forced to admit that without other relationships in his life, he was not worth as much as he thought. Sounds a little bit like Scrooge. In our journey with Scrooge, we're going to be looking at the Christmas Carol. Scrooge almost missed Christmas, just like George Mason. This week, the ghost of Christmas present. We're going to talk about that one. The ghost of Christmas present appears to offer Scrooge a lesson in love. And that is such a valuable treasure. If you haven't ever watched The Christmas Carol, this is the season to sit down and watch it, The Christmas Carol. And the ghost of Christmas present will teach Scrooge a lesson in love. That's a valuable treasure, a treasure that we, each one of us, well, we're given that treasure day to day in all of our relationships with those we know and love. Scrooge begins to see all the riches he's been accumulating for most of his life having no real lasting value. The ghost of Christmas present reveals the true poverty of Scrooge's cold heart by taking Scrooge to the home of Bob Cratchit, Scrooge's overworked, underpaid clerk. What a powerful scene in the movie when Scrooge witnesses the Cratchit family's Christmas. Scrooge begins to soften from his humbug attitude and anxiously asks the ghost of Christmas present about the prospect ahead for Tiny Tim. The ghost reminds Scrooge of what had happened earlier that Christmas Eve when wealthy businessmen came and asked Scrooge for a charitable contribution. Scrooge's response was very sarcastic. Here's what he said. "Are the poor houses still in operation? The orphanages?" Receiving an affirmative response, Scrooge expressed relief, for he was convinced that those organizations were the primary aid for the poor. One of the wealthy friends responded by saying, "But many would rather die than go to those places." "Then let them die," said Scrooge, "and decrease the excess population." Bah, humbug. Sounds really, really sad, doesn't it? Scrooge had yet to learn the lesson of love and the expensive value of relationships. The riches of love far surpass the riches of money. Let me say that again. Let me pause and let you ponder it. The riches of love far surpass the riches of money. Scrooge had yet to learn that generosity brings a joy that dollars can never buy. The Cratchit family had been sent into Scrooge's life to show Ebenezer the riches that can be found in human relationships. Maybe a good so what question, a pause and ponder question right here is, who has been sent into your life? Who has been sent into your lives in order to teach each one of us the lesson of love and relationships? the treasure of love is that we value relationships, and relationships are at the very heart of the real Christmas story. In the biblical narrative recorded by our good friend Dr. Luke, the one we read today by Matthew, Mary and Joseph demonstrate the treasure of love for one another and for God. In our reading today, we are told of how an angel appeared to Joseph and brought the good news to his fiance. His wife-to-be is pregnant. Listen again to verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit. Those are some very powerful words. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place this way. In my study on this passage this week, I was stopped by the Greek word which translates for birth. The Greek word is Genesis. Wow. Like the first book of the Bible. Genesis, it means origin or source or productive cause, a beginning or a birth. Now, the Genesis of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. The Bible begins with the book of Genesis, with the creation story. Here in the beginning of the New Testament, we find another Genesis creation story, and it's a story of love, just like it was in the first book of the Bible. Here it is in Matthew. We find the valuable treasure that can be found in human relationships. What was going through the mind of Mary and Joseph? Do you ever try to enter into the story? I always say, put yourself in the story and then put the story in you. What was going through the minds of Mary and Joseph? You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and my prayer is that you'll have a wonderful Advent and Christmas season. If you need prayer, you can always go to our website, click on the prayer icon, and write your prayer. Our prayer team will pray for you. You can email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. What was going on in the mind of Mary and Joseph? Enter into the story. Joseph, well, we're told that he didn't want to expose Mary to public disgrace, but he did really want out of the relationship. He wanted to divorce Mary quietly. While most of the attention is usually given to Mary in the birth story of the Messiah, I would like for us today to reflect a little bit on the life and the love of Joseph. I admire Joseph's love, courage, and commitment. Joseph was asked to commit his life to a Genesis event that no one could have ever imagined. Joseph was asked to bear the embarrassment, the questions, the uncertainty of the future. In Joseph's dream, the visit by the angel would impact his life and his job. No insurance, no vacation leave, no unemployment compensation, no disability for this upcoming travel to Bethlehem. Lucky for us, Joseph didn't miss Christmas like George Mason, locked in a prison vault. Joseph trusted the words the angel spoke in his dream and moved forward in his life with steps of faith. Joseph found the treasure of love. Let me say that again. Joseph found the treasure of love in his relationship with God, in his relationship with Mary, and the soon coming relationship with his newborn son, Jesus. So what? Will we have room in our hearts for the treasure of love that Christ wants to bring to us this Advent? Are we stopping each day to ask who it is that you can treasure as a relationship in your life? I would say pause and ponder today, tomorrow, each day, who it is that God has sent into your life to love. Let's make a stretch and compare Joseph's love, courage, and commitment. Well, this is a stretch to Ebenezer Scrooge. Scrooge's relationships were crippled. He was unable to walk in love, and he was uninterested in being in relationship with others. He thought those investments were, well, way too costly. Scrooge's best relationship was with his money. And at best, that is not enough. Dickens paints a picture for us of what it means to be poor in spirit. Through the Cratchits, Scrooge comes to understand the value of a loving relationship. The heart of the story is Tiny Tim. Through this little boy, we find love. Through this little boy is a broken body. Tiny Tim's heart and spirit are not broken at all, though. In a way, I think A Christmas Carol is the contrast between how Scrooge and Tiny Tim approach life. That's my opinion. I think it's a contrast of how you're going to look at life. Are you going to be a Scrooge, bah humbug? Are you going to be a Tiny Tim? Though crippled, Tiny Tim's spirit walks freely. Though poor in things, Tiny Tim is rich in love and relationships. His hearty, "God bless us, everyone," moves us all. Though it appears Tiny Tim has nothing to be thankful for, he is thankful for everything. Tiny Tim knows the lesson of love that we're reading about in our New Testament Genesis birth story of Jesus. There's another who in the beginning to understand the deep and lasting value of an honest and loving relationship, and that's Joseph. Joseph, we're told, he's a devout Jew, and he understood the angel perfectly when the angel quoted Isaiah 7, verse 14. Let me read it again. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Joseph was trying to figure out how to give Mary the heave-ho. He didn't want to disgrace her. He just wanted to divorce her quietly. Have you ever heard of such a thing? A quiet divorce? No way. Thank God Joseph took to heart his dream. Thank God for sending an angel to confirm what looked and sounded like an impossible situation. Mary, Mary? This is your Genesis, Joseph. I know it isn't what you had planned. I know you want to cut and shoot. I know you want to end the story, but you can't. This is all part of my plan. I want you to marry Mary. The question I have for you today is, do you have a crippled relationship? Are you in a crippled relationship? Do you have a crippled relationship that needs a new beginning this Advent? Scrooge did. Joseph did. So what? This leads us to our so what for today. Where do we fit into the story of A Christmas Carol? Who are we most like? Are we like Scrooge, bah humbug? Are we like Tiny Tim? God bless us, everyone. Where are we in Matthew's Genesis story of God's love? Are we ready to let go of the chains of our past? Are we ready to let God change us, even if it means a whole new storyline? Can you and I lay it all down and let the Creator renew and give us a Genesis, a new story, a new birth in our hearts, in our homes, in our holidays, as we prepare for Christmas? Is there a crippled relationship in our lives that we need God's love and grace for? I'm going to say that again this Advent season. Is there a crippled relationship in our lives that need God's love and grace? I'd like to share a lesson I learned from Emmanuel, God with us. In February of 1997, I was finishing my last semester of seminary. It had been three long, poor years for our family. A friend of mine paid my way to attend Promise Keepers Pastors Conference in Atlanta. As we left the conference, Promise Keepers handed out a poster to each pastor. When I returned home, I brought the poster down to my friend's framing shop. I told him that I'd like it back to pick up the frame and matting just as soon as I could afford it. I was hoping to have a job by May or June. The months went by, I graduated, I interviewed, and I accepted my first call to New Orleans. Our home was sold 11 days before the moving van was scheduled to appear. The call fell through. We had a daughter getting married in 7 months and two other children in college. Ooh, did you hear that? My call fell through. In late November, a good friend of mine gave us $1,000 and sent my wife and I on a call. He called it the Great Midwest Whirlwind Go Get a Call. In 1 week, we drove to 5 interviews in Illinois, Oklahoma, and Missouri. In 1 week, we did these interviews. We came home with a call to a small church in Missouri. We bought a home and began to save like crazy for the December down payment. I worked 2 full-time jobs, and my wife worked 1 full-time job and 2 part-time jobs. Our down payment was due 2 days after Christmas. We did not have 1 extra penny that year to spend on gifts, as every extra cent was going to our down payment due 2 days after Christmas. Who buys a house 2 days after Christmas? The thought of my wife and I buying a gift for each other wasn't anywhere in the picture. On Christmas morning, we gave our 3 children, ages 23, 21, and 18 at that time, we gave them a journal with a letter inside telling them how much we love them and that their Christmas gift was enclosed, a post-dated January check. Suddenly, there was a knock on the door. Remember, we had sold our home. We thought we were going to move to New Orleans. Remember, my call fell through. So between our whirlwind tour and my mid-January start date, we lived in the basement of one of our friend's parents' house. Did you hear that? We didn't live in our spacious 2,400-square-foot home that looked like, the White House. No, we spent September to December in someone's 1-bedroom basement apartment. Back to the knock on the basement door. Our Christmas morning, my good childhood friend from the paint and frame shop came bounding down the steps carrying a very large wrapped gift. He laid it down and said, "God told me to tell you your debt was paid a long time ago." He wished us all a Merry Christmas and left. We had no clue what the gift was. As I opened it, I stood amazed. The picture was the poster that I got at the conference. My friend had matted and framed it. It was a picture of Jesus holding a flame and of 5 men from all nations encircled around him also holding a flame. And the verse is from Timothy. It says, "Fan into flame the gift of God." What a gift of relationship our friend had blessed us with. Our friend was sent by God to offer my wife and I a Genesis moment on that Christmas day. God's lessons of love come to us in relationships. It's about Emmanuel, God with us. And it's the so what question for each one of us here. These ancient words from Isaiah and Matthew are Genesis words to our hearts. Now the birth, the Genesis, the source, the beginning, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. A man named Joseph was daring enough to trust an angel from his dream and dared to believe that a son was Emmanuel, God with us. Are you daring enough? God is always creating Genesis moments in our lives. It doesn't matter if you think this is going to be your best set of holidays or your worst. God is with us. George Mason missed Christmas by spending it locked in a bank vault. Ebenezer almost missed Christmas. George and Ebenezer had everything money could buy. Joseph and Mary had hardly anything, but they had the greatest gift of all, Emmanuel. That's our gift, the gift of relationships. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.